I'm Marianne Zalesnik here with Dan Hurley, who is our interim host of Cincinnati Edition. And one of the things I want to talk about first is this whole word interim, because there are a lot of people, Dan, who said, why are you advertising for a new host? Dan can do that job. Do you want to tell us why you're just the interim host?
Well, because I'm old.
There's
a reason I retired 2 years ago from Leadership Cincinnati. I turned 70 years old, and there were other things that I thought I had to figure out what I wanted to do next. And then along came, I was still with Channel 12 at that time and continued to work for them as I had for 36 years. And then along came the Freedom Center, who asked me to step in as the interim president. And that was supposed to last 6 months, and it lasted 13. And then you appeared and said, well, you had this need, and I'm not very good at saying no, especially to things I believe in, like the Freedom Center or like WVXU. So I am really happy to be doing Cincinnati Edition, but for the time being, there's other things I want to do. I have two books I need to finish, a third book that sort of is an idea, and I have a grandchild who's going to start kindergarten, and I need to spend a lot more time there too.
Well, I think first thing I want to say is we're really grateful that you were willing to step in and fill in for us while we are looking for a host, which is something we are doing right now. And that process takes always longer than you think it will. So we are looking, but we are so grateful for that. Well, you mentioned a couple of things there. Let's talk a little bit about your career in broadcasting at Channel 12. How did you end up starting there?
Well, I actually started at 9. I did 8 half-hour documentaries for Channel 9, 7 of them with Charles Kuralt. The older people in the audience will remember Kuralt. And on the history of Cincinnati. And that was my start. And when that series went off the air the first time, it eventually aired 8 different times. But when it went off the air the first time, Channel 12 called the next Monday and said, we've got a different idea. And I went there and worked with them using history to put news into context, but also began very early on doing political reporting for them, because in an earlier life, I had volunteered and worked on a lot of political campaigns. So that sort of took on a life of its own. And when Newsmakers was created and then both the producer and the host left at the same time, I stuck my hand up and said, I'd really be interested in doing that show. And I did it for 22 years. And I hated leaving it last October, but I just couldn't juggle the Freedom Center and Newsmakers anymore. And I had to move on. So I'm not trained as a journalist. If I'm trained as anything, I'm trained as a historian and sort of an academic historian training. But I started out as a high school teacher. And once you've been a teacher, you really can do anything because you're an actor and you can take on all sorts of roles. And so my career is as crazy as it comes. And but I know that since 1979, what I've been committed to is helping adults understand the place and the times that we live in. I'm interested in adult education outside the classroom.
You talk about the historic aspect, and long before you were the interim host of Cincinnati Edition, you were a guest for a long time, many times, because you're the guy in town that really knows, you know, so much about the history of this whole Cincinnati region. I think I remember having you on when I did a show here called Impact Cincinnati, talking about the amusement parks and the fact that there were all these amusement parks that nobody knew about, and you did. How did all that interest develop, and where do you go to find your information?
Well, first off, I'm trained as a colonial revolutionary historian, late 18th, early 19th century, religious tradition. Tell me when you're bored and fall asleep. We moved back here after graduate school. I went to graduate school at William & Mary. We moved back here, and I went back to high school teaching. And I did that for 2 years, but I increasingly became convinced of two things. One is that local history has a lot of power because ultimately that's where all of us live in our own localities. And secondly, that I was interested in adults, not I wanted to move on from high school. And I always picked up classes at universities and whatever. Then the other really fortunate thing that happened was that I had an opportunity to go to the Cincinnati Historical Society as the education director in, I don't know, 1978. And that is the other institution that has just shaped my life. I have spent the rest of my career in that research library, and it is such a gift to this city and not recognized because it's such seemingly a small part of the Cincinnati Museum Center and Union Terminal. But in my mind, it is the most important part. It is the part that reveals who we are as a people. And where have I learned? The other thing I can say about why do I know so much about so many different things or so little about so many different things is that I'm not an I didn't pursue my academic career. If I had become a colonial historian someplace, I would have written books over and over again on a very narrow time period and set of topics. As a public historian, which is I had my own firm, I still do, called Applied History Associates, I get hired by anybody crazy enough to think they need a historian, whether it's to do a documentary in a video or to write a book or to do an exhibit or hired by a law firm. I mean, the greatest – one of the surprise things was getting called by a law firm, and the question was, what do you know about the history of underground electrical conduit? And I said, the answer to that is easy, nothing. But over the next 6 months, I learned a lot. And so people hired me to do a bunch of things that academics, they drive their own careers. Whereas if you're in business, which I've been, I do what clients need me to do. And I've learned a lot of things. And that's been very nice. It's been a wonderful way to spend my career.
You mentioned earlier when you talked about how you have a hard time saying no and didn't say no to us because you thought that Cincinnati Edition was important. Tell us why you think this program's important.
Well, I see it as similar to newsmakers. I think it is very important to allow people to talk unedited. You know, when I do a news story, whether it's for Channel 12 or if I was doing it for here, you have a certain amount of time. You have 45 seconds or 90 seconds for a package, and that's all you get. You can reveal what somebody thinks in that context. And then you write in a lot of other stuff that you learned by talking to them into your short package. But with Cincinnati Edition or Newsmakers, you not only find out what somebody thinks, you can actually watch them think. You can see the wheels turning because if you've asked the right questions, you get them off balance a little bit and they have to work it out. And I think that's what's really valuable about this kind of live, unedited show that delves into the community. The other thing that's wonderful about Cincinnati Edition is the timing. From 1 till 2 o'clock, we end up getting people who have been out to a business lunch or whatever kind of lunch or a meeting, and they end up in their car and they turn it on and they hear 15 minutes today and 20 minutes 2 days from now. And I am amazed at how many people hear and the breadth of people we have from this community who come on to Cincinnati Edition is just amazing. And it's the sort of thing that doesn't get covered any other way. So it's the style of the show plus the ability to bring people who don't get attention otherwise.
Who's your dream guest? Who would you really wish that you could have on? Do you have anybody that you haven't talked to? And you've talked to a lot of people with newsmakers and others. But is there ever somebody you wanted to talk to that you haven't had a chance to get on?
Oh, I don't know. I would love to have the former CEO of, and I'm blocking right now, the former CEO of P&G, who also served as the VA. Bob McDonald. I'd love to have Bob McDonald on. He's been and to connect it to the other part of my life, being the director of Leadership Cincinnati for 8 years at the end of my career. It is the best job I've ever had, the most important job, single job I ever had. So I spent a lot of time thinking about leadership. Bob McDonald was a leader when he was in the military, one style of leadership. He created a career in business, and then he went to government and to lead the VA, this huge, cumbersome organization, and he did that. I would love to get him on. I invited him to speak to Leadership Cincinnati. I went through his son. I tried to get to him with people I knew, and I can understand why he doesn't want to do it. But I would, I'd like to have Bob McDonald on.
What about you talk about retirement, and it is coming eventually. What are your
promise
plans?
Promise me that.
I promise. I don't say how soon, but eventually. What are your plans? What do you want to do?
Well, I do have these two books that I want to finish.
What are they about?
Well, one is gathering together a lot of the essays that I've written over the years. I mean, I wrote for the Cincinnati Post for 2.5 years. I write for Cincy Magazine today for every issue. A column, and being a columnist, you're not just a reporter. They actually want to know what you think about something. It was very surprising, very hard to make that shift early on. But I also wrote lots of essays for Leadership Cincinnati, especially the first 6 years I was there. I wrote an essay every month about the topic that we were exploring that put some historical context. That's the way I'm a historian and I'm a teacher, so I approach things that way. A lot of those have never been published. And then I've given tons of lectures over the years that I'd like to put in good form. I think a lot of these would be fairly short, but I think they'd be useful to people. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think so.
That doesn't sound like retirement to me. That sounds like you're working.
Well, retirement, you don't retire from something. You retire to something. I still want to be useful. The other book is my mother saved all of my father's letters during World War II. There's about 400 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of them are extremely short, like send me clean socks type of thing. But and they had just been married, so they're love letters. But my father, very articulate, was a lawyer before he went into the service. Graduated from Chase, or what was then called the YMCA Law School, and he was extremely conservative. He hated FDR. That I knew from growing up in the house. But he hated him from very early on, and he ended up being a white officer over an all-black troop, so there's an interesting dynamic there. Plus, his group was sent into Dachau within the first 48 hours after liberation. And he wrote a very powerful letter, which the Holocaust and Humanities Center here in Cincinnati has used for years, sort of that eyewitness account and reaction. And so I think there's something there. And every letter started, "Dearest Margie," to my mother. And that's the title. And I want to do something with that. The third book is our focus on childhood poverty over the last 5 years in this community. I really think there's a book that could be useful to people about how we've thought about, responded to, tried to deal with the question of poverty over a long historical period. And, you know, That one's just in the really incubation stage.
Dan, thanks so much for talking with me.
Oh, it's been great.
Dan Hurley is the interim host of Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mary Ann Zalesnik.